Primary election is over.
If you're looking at the city of Pensacola mayor race, D.C. Reeves has 51% of the vote. Alicia Trawick has 21% of the vote.
News Radio 92.3 full team coverage with Chris and Austin provided up-to-the-minute local and state election results.
I'm so happy to welcome David Williams into the show. Hey, David, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
I'm looking at your numbers. You have 59.12% of the vote.
News Radio 92.3. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Board, next meeting is going to be November.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We don't have a quorum, I don't believe, anymore. You do? Okay. I wanted to have a discussion about Sorrento Road.
So in the Transportation Planning Organization meeting, or TPO meeting, which is your regional prioritization and decisions about things that affect more than just one municipality, you know, Escambia, Santa Rosa, and Baldwin County, and the cities therein get together and make these decisions. And Steve Stroberger says, hey, guys, I'd like to talk about Sorrento Road, which is, you know, what is it, 292? I always forget the number because I don't ever pay attention to that. But it's the one that has 14 different names, you know, like Brent is Softly, is Bayou, is Beverly, is all of these different things, is Michigan. State Road 292 is Perdido Key Drive, Sorrento Road, Gulf Beach Highway, and Barrancas, and then Pace. So it's like, it's a crazy road, but this is how we do things. Anyway, he's talking about Sorrento Road because this requires a little background knowledge. Remember at the prior TPO meeting, Kerry Smith, who is the Santa Rosa County Commissioner, although he lost his reelection campaign, so he will be out in November. He is the commissioner for that district east of Milton, which is District 2. And so, you know, he had tried to, there was a couple of things he tried to do in that last meeting. Number one, he wanted to be the chair, incoming chair, because he's the vice chair, and that should have happened. But because Heather Lindsay and some others basically conspired to make Stephen Barry the chair again, which was a terrible way to do things, and everybody knows it was wrong. But anyway, we are where we are. So that was one thing that got done. The other thing that got done was they juggled the priorities a little bit, and they moved the Highway 90 widening over the Blackwater River ahead of the safety improvement project for Sorrento Road. And that was done essentially because you had four missing commissioners from Escambia County. One was ill, one was at a funeral, and two of them were at the big military meeting that is part of both counties are involved in this. So they weren't there for reasons. And then afterwards, there was all this fallout. Like, you took advantage of the situation. You did it only because you had your commissioners there, and there weren't enough votes to go against it. Stephen Barry couldn't stop it. Okay, so deprioritizing Sorrento Road, which is the number one safety problem in Steve Stroberger's District 1 on the west side, they've been saying ever since this meeting, we're going to remedy that. Which, yeah, understandably, it was not done properly. It shouldn't have been done. Kerry Smith did it. I don't think for any particularly nefarious reason. You know, he wants to get reelected and he wants to improve the prioritization of something that's important to his district. But the way he did it, he shouldn't have done. And everybody knows that, except Kerry, which is fine. We'll get to that in a second. So Steve Stroberger says, let's talk about Sorrento Road.
So I want to be clear on that. Against the Highway 90 project in Santa Rosa, I just think that this is what's important to me. If I had the priority list in front of me, the nonsense priority list, I'd have a star, I'd have asterisks, and I'd have five exclamation points, and I'd also have one where I'd have a whiskey tango foxtrot there too, right next to item number five. So I wrote my own speech today, too, just like Crystal did.
Okay, so he says, look, Highway 90 is important for sure, but Sorrento is more important. That's why it was always, you know, a higher priority. And he says, if I had my own list next to Sorrento Road, I'd have stars, I'd have underlined, I'd have gold print, and I'd have a big WTF, that Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, next to it, which does not stand for Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, that this road needs to be fixed. The other background that's important to have is that only really the top three things on the list get funded. So being number four is like being the bubble boy at the money for the, you know, Texas Hold'em tournament. Like, you are out of the money, but it's still symbolic. So it is just symbolic where you are on the list outside the top three, but it still carries some value, and that's why Kerry fought to make Highway 90 above, and that's why Steve Strohberg is pushing back, trying to get it reappointed to be number four for Sorrento.
When I compare these two projects, I believe Sorrento Road represents the more immediate transportation and public safety need. And this board has already recognized that concern. Both projects are needed. The question is, which project has the greater urgency for the next available transportation dollar?
Where should the money go next?
For Sorrento Road, I would emphasize five distinctions. First, Sorrento Road has a demonstrated safety problem. I previously asked the TPO board to vote for a state safety analysis of Sorrento Road and Gulf Beach Highway, and the board voted unanimously for that. Thank you. Why did I make that request? Because the safety record warranted it. Sorrento Road is one of the most dangerous roads and in a dangerous road corridor in Escambia County.
Yeah, Sorrento is the one that pops up routinely where there's been crashes, where there have been fatalities because of the quality of the road, the lighting. There's just all kinds of reasons. And this has been on the please, dear Lord, fix this road for, you know, as long as I've lived here. Okay, which is, you know, 13 years and, you know, before that. And so to put anything else ahead of that is like saying we don't care about the lives lost. Now, again, Highway 90 matters a lot for traffic congestion, for getting people through, you know, emergency services, getting back and forth when that bridge gets clogged up, for medical needs and so forth. But it really isn't at the same level as Sorrento Road. He's right about that. And so which one is a more of a priority? Well, Sorrento is a priority and has been that way for a long time. We'll come back to this in just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. The front gate of NS Pensacola is backed up to Bayou Grande Lane. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So he says Highway 90 has some workarounds. I guess is your workaround. It's weird that there aren't not more ways to cross the Blackwater River, just my own opinion. I'm kind of surprised that we only have the two. But he says, look, Sorrento is, you know, isolates that part of town. It's a key work. You know, you cannot go some. It's very hard to go some other way. When there are accidents, there are very few workarounds. So it's, you know, it's not part of a larger network of connected roads.
We're talking about moving residents away from vulnerable coastal areas during a hurricane or other emergencies, while simultaneously allowing fire, EMS, law enforcement, utilities, and other emergency personnel to travel in the opposite direction. A transportation corridor serving Perdido Key and Southwest Escambia cannot be evaluated solely on average daily traffic. Its performance during the worst day, not just on the average day, that matters.
It's the artery. And when the artery gets blocked, it's a huge problem. Plus, it's a very, very unsafe artery compared to other roads. It's a key evacuation route, key for first responders and everything else, and the military base.
Sorrento Road is important to the training mission at NES Pensacola. This corridor also has significance beyond normal commuter traffic. Sorrento Road and Gulf Beach Highway are part of the regional transportation network serving NES Pensacola. It's military personnel, civilian network, civilian workforce, contractors, students, instructors, and the broader aviation training mission at NES. NES Pensacola is a major military installation and a critical center for naval aviation training. Reliable transportation into and around Southwest Escambia County directly affects access for the thousands of people who support that mission.
So
that makes Sorrento Road more than a local capacity project.
So all kinds of reasons why Sorrento is and should be the number one out of the money priority, as in the next time we get a chance to expand the priority list to, you know, we solve one of these things, it can become number three. It's the next to be fulfilled is Sorrento Road.
When we evaluate transportation priorities, we should consider not only daily traffic count, but whether a corridor supports public safety, hurricane evacuation, emergency response, regional mobility, and the military mission readiness. So Sorrento Road checks all of those boxes. So I believe those factors justify restoring Sorrento Road to number four on our non-CIS priority list, while keeping Highway 90 immediately behind it as one of our region's highest priorities.
So he's saying, let's just reverse the order. Let's make Highway 90 number five, like it had been, well, below. I think it had actually been number seven, if I remember correctly, before the past meeting. And let's put Sorrento back where it should be at number four. And then he says,
I don't know if I can make a motion you know, at this point, because I know that we've already voted on that list. I was absent for that list, and so were others. Is it appropriate to make a motion to change the priority list at this point, Chairman?
It wouldn't be, because it's not an emergency that would justify making it an add-on item. It hasn't been noticed to the public so that they can show up and make their arguments, or so that other people can do their research ahead of time. So Stephen Berry says it actually makes more sense for us to do this at our next meeting in November. So I'm willing to do that. Mike Kohler then jumps in. Mike Kohler is District 1, and of course, District 2, that's the Navy base, among other things.
I think historically, I think it's important to kind of remind the board. 3 years ago, when the former Commissioner Bergosh was here, we all voted on that road collectively.
It's been this way a long time.
And the last meeting, three of us were at ADC for basically the Northwest Florida Defense Coalition. Commissioner Hopper had a family tragedy. I don't know what was going on. I think he was sick, Commissioner May. I do think it should be added. I agree with Commissioner Stroberger's. I know Commissioner Carey, you got Highway 90 moved up, but I think in good faith with this board and the historical background, the right thing to do is put it in November and move it back to number 4, because the board had already voted on that 3 years ago. And that's my comment.
Yeah, we did this when a lot of members were absent. Commissioner Wright was absent. Stroberger and Kohler were out. They were all at the same military meeting, which is doing good for the region. And, Kerry Smith basically took advantage of their absence to get this thing juggled around and moved up. And as I've said before, I did not think that it was appropriate. And, it should have not been done, especially when they're out representing the region. So they're out doing a collective benefit. And while they've got their kind of backs turned or they're out of the house, the kids are playing. And I like Kerry, and I know he's trying to do something good for his area, but this is the kind of thing that you bring up to the whole board. You don't take advantage of this, missing persons problem when there were 4 county commissioners for Escambia absent. And you actually had to, there wasn't even a quorum. Like, they had to go out of their way to get a quorum. Like, somebody had to call Delaire and Wiggins to have them come in for the meeting. So now Kerry Smith is going to respond, right? And by the way, this is where it starts to get entertaining. So far, it's just been informative. This is where it gets entertaining.
A lot of the arguments that I just heard Commissioner Stroberger were presenting were basically saying that his program should be on the CIS agenda.
And by the way, to understand that comment, it should, that these things should be on the CIS list. That's the Strategic Intermodal Systems list. That's the FDOT looks at things differently when they are part of the connective network for evacuations or military necessity or whatever. It's kind of like a different list. There's the CIS and the non-CIS list. And there's actually been a push to put even the Highway 90 stuff on the CIS list because it's an evacuation route potentially. It connects Whiting to folks that are east of the river and everything else. And what Kerry's saying is, well, what you're offering are arguments to make it a CIS project rather than to make it the number 4 project.
I can certainly argue the same thing.
Argue that Highway 90 should be also.
I'm somebody that's in East Milton that's disconnected from the rest of the community by the Highway 90 project not being in the CIS program, because what you have is, we both have the same argument. Your program should be on CIS. I'm saying the same thing. They're non-CIS.
So he says, look, I could make all the same arguments for my project, especially that they should be treated with more priority by the Strategic Intermodal System list. And yeah, we suffer the same way. They're both important projects. And of course, what they're wrangling on, again, to be clear, is largely symbolic, because neither one of them is getting funded. 4554, it does not really matter, except for, bragging rights politically and long term what's going to happen with the money, maybe.
When you look at what's going on in Escambia County as far as what's divvied out as far as non-CIS projects currently under construction versus what's going on in Santa Rosa County, where's the lion's share?
Well, the lion's share is in Escambia County, but then the lion's share of the population is in Escambia County by little more than a 3-2 margin. Right? So 333,000 or so live in Escambia, 211 in Santa Rosa. So, and also a lot more traffic, because Santa Rosa is largely bedroom community for activity economically that goes on in Escambia County. So where do you need to have roads? Well, you need to connect them into Escambia County. Here's where it gets to be fun. You ready? This is we've been waiting this whole time for this moment.
Now, that being said, you're looking looking at a board from Santa Rosa County that shows up to these meetings.
Oh, you're looking at a board from Santa Rosa County that shows up to the meetings. Remember, they were not there because they were out working on important things for both counties in collaboration with each other, the military coalition. So we show up. I don't know. If you don't show up, you know, it's kind of on you why you didn't get your stuff passed.
Now, that being said, you're looking at a board from Santa Rosa County that shows up to these meetings.
Oh, no.
We show up because we know we're at a disadvantage. We're at a disadvantage because you can see the numbers.
We're at a disadvantage numerically. So when I find people missing, I need to use that to my advantage. By the way, if you look at the numbers, because there are five city council members in Pensacola, plus the mayor of Gulf Breeze and the mayor of Milton who sit on this board, the actual numerical relationship is 10 to 7. There's 10 in Escambia and 7 in Santa Rosa. I had thought the Century mayor was on this as well, but not listed, at least not currently. So, with 333 to 211,000, the relationship should actually be 11 to 7, not 10 to 7. So, if anything, by population, they're underrepresented, Escambia County is. So we're going to come back to this later because the drama has not yet happened, but it's getting there. The allegation is, well, you guys should have showed up at the meeting if you wanted your stuff passed while they're all out working together, you know, kind of building the neighbor's barn. He's complaining that they're not showing up at the House meeting. Like, that's, it's a weird thing to say, but we'll get to that coming up next hour. That was the setup. That's the part one of the two-part series. 625 on News Radio 92.3. PJ has traffic on the fives.
No problems or delays to report. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth. If you see anything, 437-1620. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Speaking of driving around the roads in the area, if you were looking for that better, newer car, Frontier Motors is a great selection of good quality used cars. Cars that are 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years young, low miles, great condition. All those late model cars are going to warranty to 100,000 miles or 10 years, whichever comes first, because they only sell good cars and they want to take good care of you. And their theory at Frontier is, you know, a lot of times you go to a place and you feel like, man, they're just trying to get as much out of me this one time as possible. And at Frontier, what they feel like is they're trying to treat me well so that I want to come back. Very different approaches. And so it feels different. They do business differently. They want you to come again and again and again. And that's why it feels so different. That kind of icky feeling that you get at a lot of dealerships or a lot of used car places, you just don't get that at Frontier because, again, they're serving the Pensacola community for a long time, 29 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Service has always been a part of who I am. First in the Air Force, now helping families across Pensacola make one of the biggest decisions of their lives. Whether you're buying your first home, selling your current one, or relocating to our beautiful Gulf Coast, my team is here to help guide you every step of the way. I'm Wayne Peacock with the Peacock Group at Levin Rinke Realty, and if you're thinking about buying or selling, let's make your next move your best move. Visit us at peacockgroup.info. Again, that's peacockgroup.info.
Tune in Thursday at 9:30 as Ray Palmer with Pensacola Sports will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Pensacola Sports Focus has and always will be on education, inspiration, and participation in various team, individual, amateur, and professional sports activities. What events are coming up on the calendar? Tune in Thursday at 9:30 as Pensacola Sports will be discussing those upcoming events on the calendar.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Sometimes you feel like enough, sometimes you don't.
I'm gonna wreck
Good morning, 6:29 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Steve is sitting in for David this morning in our newsroom with the headlines. Steve?
Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney says Canada is at war with the U.S. after the trade talks with the Trump administration fell apart. U.S. tariffs against a wide range of Canadian goods went into effect on Saturday after negotiators from both sides failed to reach an agreement. Saturday morning, Carney gave a speech to Canadians calling the U.S. terms, quote, a bad deal, and claimed America has changed. The percentage of Americans who admit to smoking marijuana is on an all-time high right now. A new Gallup poll shows 70% say they smoke marijuana, a number that's more than doubled since 2013. Another 15% say they consume marijuana edibles. That survey found also that pot smokers tend to be less educated, less religious, and make less money. I wonder why.
But do they inhale?
Oh, man, we don't inhale.
That's what they say. That's a Bill Clinton joke for the younglings. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, according to Gallup, they also admit that they smoke cigarettes. That number is about 11% right now. It was once as high as 45%.
All right, Steve, thanks so much for the update. 6:30 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, hey, if things are not working out so well for you on all the dating apps, if you're in that demographic, try LinkedIn. Yes, it's still around. Your grandparents' social media. Apparently, even though it is prohibited by LinkedIn, people are using LinkedIn not so much as a way to meet, but as a way to verify the information they find on the swiping
apps. Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. The Trump administration getting ready to hit Iran with the toughest sanctions in history.
U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent on Sunday wrote in the Financial Times, President Donald Trump and the overwhelming might of our military have significantly dismantled Iran's military capabilities and weakened its nuclear program. Now we are entering the endgame. At dawn begins an economic D-Day, the single greatest financial offensive ever marshaled against an adversary.
Fox's Trey Yingston, Tel Aviv, closing arguments expected this week in the Massachusetts trial of Lindsay Clancy, the mother accused of killing her three young kids.
Her attorneys have argued she was not criminally responsible due to mental illness and should be placed in a state health facility. Prosecutors seeking a life sentence have argued Clancy intentionally killed her kids.
That is Fox's Gernal Scott reporting. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning at 6:31 right now, 80 degrees and partly cloudy. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. State and military leaders are weighing their options for easing Highway 98 congestion by Herbert Field area after the past fixes like the flyover near the base entrance have not solved the problem. Representative Nathan Boyles told Channel 3.
There are multiple tools that I think that are ultimately in the toolkit that have to be evaluated, and some of those come from, you know, extending turn lanes along the existing corridor, you know, adding additional shorter connectors, widening the existing corridor, and then, you know, I'd say probably the most drastic measures being kind of bypasses around that 98 corridor.
Congressman Jimmy Patronis filed the Warrior Road Act, which is aiming to make the security critical infrastructure projects a federal funding priority. Meanwhile, Senator Gates says solving the congestion ultimately comes down to two things, land and money.
I think it's everyone's concern that we don't want to lose mission. We obviously don't want to lose bases.
The main concern is keeping the base and the missions they support in Northwest Florida. In the meantime, the base has requested additional Florida troopers to be in the area helping with the traffic problem. Friday night's kickoff to the fall football season came with a weather scare. A severe thunderstorm watch over Northwest Florida forced delays at both Tate and Pine Forest High Schools. Schools leaned on a system called WeatherSTEM, and that makes the call. Escambia County Athletic Director Casey Thiel told Channel 3 every campus has a weather station attached to the press box.
It has everything that you could possibly imagine. Anyone in our county could Google WeatherSTEM or weather stations in Escambia County, Florida, and see the seven of our high schools, plus UWF has four, and then some fire stations here, and you can see all the data in there.
Thiel says lightning within 6 to 10 miles stops the game entirely. Well, Florida's cost of living squeeze is showing up on the jobs front. Natalie Rodriguez reports.
The hiring crunch is hitting Florida particularly hard, with Miami ranking near the bottom for young professionals finding work. Starter roles are heavily saturated and entry-level salaries fail to match the region's surging housing costs. Local economists warn a lack of high-paying opportunities is forcing grads to launch careers out of state. Natalie Rodriguez, Miami.
Well, even though the Atlantic's been awfully quiet, it is still hurricane season. In fact, a tropical wave is expected to move off the west coast of Africa later today, and An area of low pressure could form in association with the wave earlier this week. Tropical depression could form by the middle of the week, while the system is generally moving westward 15 to 20 miles an hour across the eastern and central tropical Atlantic. Formation chance, though, is low at 10% for the next couple of days, but through 7 days, medium, about 50% chance of becoming a possible tropical storm. Let's check our forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing some showers and thunderstorms today. 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, going to be seeing partly cloudy skies, high near 93 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Tuesday, 50% chance of rain with a high near 91 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Heading into Wednesday, 50% chance of rain with a high near 91 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's check in with PJ for traffic on the fives.
This is brought to you by Florida West Economic Development Alliance, working to create high wage jobs and private capital investment that grows Escambia County's tax base. No problems or delays to report. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth. Not showing any slowdowns on Pine Forest or Carr City. The front gate of NS Pensacola backed up to Interbay. I'm PJ with the traffic on the fives.
Thanks, PJ. Well, right now, temperature-wise, it is 80 degrees in Pensacola, 80 also in Gulf Breeze, 78 degrees in Milton at 635. The next news is at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Ever since I turned 40, I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
I was feeling the same way. After 40, the body has less testosterone, and men lose their edge. That's why I take Nugenix Total T2.
That's the testosterone booster, right?
Yes, but Total T2 is their brand new formula that skyrockets nitric oxide levels in as little as 3 hours. Since I started taking it, I've been lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. My energy is way up, and it even spiced up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles?
Yep, just send a text.
Text SPARK to 215215 for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T2, the next generation testosterone booster. Text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text SPARK to 215215. That's SPARK to 215215.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks. Rent a kayak or a paddleboat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center. Or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers. Tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit playpensacola.com or follow social media at Play Pecola Parks. It's time to get out and play.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Summer season is here and Florida's summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you.
On your phone, on your computer,
wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter, even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I am Dr. Norman Haynes, the historian for the Pensacola Heritage Foundation.
Let me just say that about 5 years ago, we embarked on an educational series called Uncovering Pensacola's History. And our goal was to identify groups, minorities, individuals that have been lost to history, had been overlooked, and not necessarily given credit where credit was due for what they've done for Pensacola. And we've identified many individuals. We've had lectures. We've had educational seminars regarding them.
I love what the Pensacola Heritage Foundation is doing. And by the way, in case you're wondering, one of the questions that has come up in this connection is no relation to the Heritage Foundation, which actually came into existence after the Pensacola Heritage Foundation, about 6 years after, I think, maybe even longer than that. Anyway, the Heritage Foundation shares a birthday with me, the big national one, 1973, as opposed to me, 1971 for February 16th. I didn't know that until I was looking up the research. But you remember, this is all about Alexander Stoddard, one of the key people around the time of the Civil War here in Pensacola, and the putting of a statue of him with his St. Bernard dog outside of the Bayview Community Center. And, you know, they had brought this forward. I thought it was a wonderful thing. He's a very influential person in the development of Pensacola. As he said, the kind of person that they unearthed his significance along the way. And this, the PFN has been, Pensacola Heritage Foundation, has been responsible for, like, the Galvez prominence and promoting that. And they're really good at discovering and promoting history and teaching us. And, you know, Dr. Haynes is a fantastic historian.
After the Civil War in the 1870s, when we needed to rebuild, and it was due to people and individuals like Alexander Stoddard who had allowed Pensacola to thrive and boom much quicker in the South than many other cities and around the South because of his input, of his effort, and the money and the support and the vision that he has put into the city.
Right. He did a lot of things for us. We'll get to some of the details here in a second. Jared Moore is going to ask the question about the Heritage Foundation.
I had some people, thank you, Madam President, I had some people reach out to me after the last time and were confused. They asked me what the Heritage Foundation was coming to the city about. You all, the Pensacola Heritage Foundation,
right,
has no connection with the Heritage Foundation. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay, all right.
Our organization has been since 1964.
Oh, wow.
We are certainly the largest, nearly 500 members, the largest historical association in the panhandle, and we're certainly the oldest.
Yeah, and predating the nationally known Heritage Foundation, which is a conservative think tank, publisher, political influencer, by 9 years. And, you know, I like the Heritage Foundation. I like the Pensacola Heritage Foundation, but they are two completely separate entities that, rather unfortunately for the bias against them or the opposition to them, you know, doesn't have to always be just bias, but, you know, they kind of get tarnished with that here locally a little bit. And remember, this was the guy that when this had come up previously, you know, there was a photo of him with his black servants or workers. It's not quite clear from the picture. And he was a slave owner. No, he wasn't. Okay. But there has been some pushback on this. And so now the folks at the Pensacola Heritage Foundation are pushing back against the pushback and saying, no, this is a great person. Bill Greenhut.
So I want to talk a little bit about Alexander Stoddard. He came from New York. He was a visionary. He was an entrepreneur. He made his money in fire insurance. He fell in love with Pensacola. He and his wife and his famous St. Bernard came to Pensacola and decided they loved it. They bought a large tract of land in Pensacola, which included most of the land from 12th Avenue all the way to Bayou Tahar, including Lakeview Avenue. And I'm proud to say I live in that part of Pensacola. And if you look at the live oaks and you look at the azaleas, you can thank Mr. Stoddard for that because he was in love with those kinds of trees and plants and brought those to Pensacola as well.
So we have azaleas and live oaks largely because of this man. I mean, if you want to think, like, not maybe only, but the azaleas apparently and the live oaks to some degree too. So if you like the trees, you like the bushes, you this is who you thank.
I want to talk just briefly, I've got a few seconds left, about the Pensacola Heritage Society. I've been a member for 4 years. Every chance I get, I go. Dr. Haynes is the speaker. The time he puts, the resources that he looks at to make these lectures of everything from Civil War, Spanish War, heroes, anti-heroes, you name it, is very interesting. Over 100 people attend. And I urge this council to approve this statue that Dr. Haynes is willing to spend $50,000 of his own funds to install at the foot of Bayview Park in honor of Alexander Stoddard.
So the Pensacola Heritage Foundation key historian is willing to spend his own money to put this statue up. He believes in it that much. Reese Williams, who is the president of the Pensacola Heritage Foundation, is reading an article from, it wasn't actually called the PNJ at the time, but the newspaper at the time, describing the value of Stoddard to Pensacola.
Alexander Stoddard came to Pensacola in 1876 to vacation. He grew to appreciate the city and contributed a great deal of his wealth to making improvements benefiting the citizens of Pensacola. He financed and promoted a system of roads known as the Stoddard System, where sandy, unstable roads were ballasted, graded, and packed with clay, turning difficult-to-travel roads into sturdy all-weather surfaces. This is from the Pensacola News in 1899. If there is one of the many improvements effected in this city in the recent past, more deserving of public commendation than another, the News feels emboldened to say it is the Stoddard system of drives and avenues. And if the improvement be worthy of favorable comment, its author can be nonetheless deserving. Mr. Stoddard has gone to considerable expense in having miles of the system graded and ballasted, and during the past winter has had set out nearly 1,000 live oaks, all contributing to and enhancing the beauty of the entire East Hill. Pensacola is proud of the gentleman and proud of his temporary stays with her citizens every year. He is always welcome. End of the article.
So contemporaneous with his life, they recognize that he was a fantastic value to the nation, to the city, to East Hill, to Bayview, the land, to the, you know, the trees at the time. So again, they came with, you know, ready ammunition to explain why this person is justified in having a statue at Bayview Park, because there had been some questions raised, some challenges made, both in the community and by Charles Baer at city council meeting, and they wanted to answer those objections. So we'll come back to this in just a second. 646 News Radio 92.3 PJ has traffic on the fives.
So it was brought to you by White Sands Electric, keeping your Cummins or Generac generators in top shape for the hurricane season. White Sands Electric, your full-service electrical contractor. Things are looking really good out there. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smooth. Davis Highway is clear from the I-10 overpass through Creighton. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So at this point, if you're listening to this, you think this is uncontroversial. At least that was my thought. I mean, they've answered all the questions. They've answered the—I mean, they're going to answer even more here in a moment, but this is a person who certainly should be honored in our history. Reese Williams again.
Stoddard was rich, but he made his money in New York City, not Pensacola. He gave to Pensacola much more than he made here. He personally paid for the construction of Lakeview Avenue.
And by the way, this is a side note. Even if he had made his money here, that's not a bad thing. Money is what you get when you provide a benefit to people and they give you money, right? That's getting wealthy in an area doesn't mean you took advantage of the area. It means that you benefited people in the area. But okay, fine. So he made his money there and he brought it here and he created insurance opportunities for us here too.
Stoddard bought and later donated the property that became Bayview Park, thus ensuring public access to Bayou Tahar. He encouraged the city to develop Bayview Park as a public recreation area. He dug clean water wells throughout East Hill and championed sanitation. He ran a local dairy farm that supplied fresh milk to citizens, and he also provided crucial fire insurance that sparked industrial development. As evidenced by the handout that you have, Alexander Stoddard was respected and acknowledged by the leaders of Pensacola in his time. This very body, the City Council, thought enough of him to rename 12th Avenue Stoddard Avenue.
He is responsible for Bayview, the Azaleas, the Live Oaks, for East Hill. They named a road after he created road. I mean, good Lord. Like, he's a city architect. He's a city founder in a lot of ways, right? Norman Haynes again?
Yes. Well,
They were asking about the picture and about the, you know, did he have any slaves? Did he have any servants? What's the, because, you know, this is just around the time of the Civil War and shortly thereafter, and they're asking about that.
Yes. Well, a photograph was mentioned the last time that showed it was a formal picture of the Stoddard house on 12th Avenue, a formal picture of Mr. Stoddard and his wife. And there are two black employees there as well. That picture was taken in the late 1880s, early 1890s, certainly well after the Civil War, well after emancipation. We have vetted him completely. I've literally followed him from Scotland, including the ship he came over. He was 6 years old when his family relocated to Kentucky. His father, they were a poor family. His father was a tailor. They did not own slaves.
So no slaves, no concern about that, despite the questions raised about this picture.
He went to Cincinnati, where he had a mentor in the insurance business. And then in early during the Civil War, he was too frail and small to enlist in the Civil War. And he went to New York, where he then developed the insurance business, knowing that after the war, this country would need to be rebuilt. And they needed insurance protection to be able to do that.
Part of the things that made it, you know, really helped us in, you know, here in Pensacola was having the ability to be insured so that we could start businesses. It's a key element of economic prosperity.
He came to Pensacola in 1872, when he purchased property, lived here half the year in 1876 with his wife. They never had children. He employed many people. He was probably one of the biggest employers in the city. He had this incredible state-of-the-art dairy that employed many people. He had cattle which ranged out on the Lake Tahar, on the what he called Lake Tahar, not Bayou.
Right, and also, again, the horticultural research that brought us lots of the, you know, plants and trees and shrubs that we believe in and, you know, we're familiar with now.
He had a huge array of gardeners and horticulturists who he was very interested in developing what plants would grow in this crazy environment of ours. And he experimented with incredible a number of plants, as that's when he came up with the azalea and imported azaleas and was the first person in our city to do that and promote the fact that azaleas grow very well in this climate. He put out 75,000 oysters in Bayou Tahar to find out if that would support oysters. So,
like, we wouldn't have had azaleas without him? Like, we wouldn't have had live oaks or not very many without him? Like, we wouldn't have had the oyster? I mean, good Lord. And then, the again, lingering question about the black employees.
Did he have black employees? Certainly. Every wealthy Pensacolian had black employees, and they were employees. The best job in those after the Civil War in the 1870s was to get a job as a cook, a nanny, a house, a maid, a butler. Those were the jobs that for black people was very good. It helped them. They got educated. And he certainly, like many of the wealthy North Hill people who subsequently came, had black employees. So I look at that as a benefit. At no time in his life or his family did he ever have slaves. Even when he went back to New York, if you look at the census, it lists servants. And the two servants were Scottish women that he brought over and worked for him in his house in New York when he lived there for the rest of the year.
Okay. Now, you may not remember when we covered this before, but the objections were raised largely by who's going to raise objections? PJ and the city council in Pensacola?
Charles Bear.
Charles Bear, that's right. Charles doesn't like it. Charles doesn't think it's appropriate. Thinks there's other people that ought to get statues. And I have made, and I apologize for subjecting you to this, but it is a minute and a half montage of all the things Charles said the last time around. So you can hear. Because he didn't talk at this meeting about his objections, but these are the objections he raised in the past at the, this was back in April, where he said, this is the reasons that I do not support this statue.
And, you know, really nothing against insurance salesmen. If you're in insurance, that's great. But this was a rich insurance salesman who made his money in New York, came down, made money here, and bought a lot of property. A lot of property around the bayou, around Bayou Tahar, had a road named after him. Instead of Lakeview, it was called Stoddard. He called it Lakeview because he thought the bayou was a lake, and he was a northerner, so he wasn't familiar with bayous.
So there's the carpetbagger analysis that he didn't know the difference between a lake and a bayou, so you shouldn't have a statue named after or a statue made for him.
The area that he settled in, there's a lot of wetlands there. And, you know, the gentleman referred to it as swamps, but wetlands, which are very protective areas. There are areas where juvenile fish grow up. There are protection from hurricanes. There's lots of positives to wetlands. And he pretty much filled them all in so he could build his little empire down here.
This little empire down here. Okay, do you want to unfill them and make them back into wetlands today, sir?
He also had servants that were African Americans, and I thought it was very interesting in the picture to see two of them right there in that picture. It's just...
But we've answered that now. They were, right, employees?
It's just, to me, a statue leaves a lasting impression, and this is one of, what, 94 parks? I don't know. We seem to go 93, 95, 94, somewhere in there. And I'm wondering, are we going to research the history of every park, and if the park was given to us by someone, we're going to put a statue there?
Maybe.
I don't know why it wouldn't be near there. It's a large St. Bernard, which you don't see many of those in Pensacola, I will say.
He had a St. Bernard. How dare he in the South?
I don't think they survived very well down here in our heat.
And by the way, two dog parks in that area is kind of maybe part of the reason why it sort of fits.
But I really don't think it belongs right out in front of Bayview Center. And I just couldn't let this one go by. There have been so many people who have done incredible things in our community. Yeah, he gave a piece of land that became the park. He also did some road paving. He had lots and lots of money.
Oh, my God. It just makes my brain hurt. So they had come with a presentation and explained why this made sense. And I thought it was a delightful idea. And when they explained who this person was, I thought, oh, that makes sense. And then Charles has his many, many minutes long objections to everything. Because he's the expert on everything, apparently. And St. Bernard, after all, doesn't belong in Pensacola. And so this most recent meeting is the response. It's the Pensacola Heritage Foundation's response to Charles Baer, where they decisively, fully, completely answered all of his objections and explained why this man should be great. So did Charles Baer change his mind?
Absolutely not.
That passes 6-1.
He didn't explain his opposition, but he's still a no. To the statue of the... This is the same meeting where he was a no on the curfew. If there's ever going to be a no, it's always going to be Charles Baer. All right, PJ has... That's amazing. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash, US 90 at Airport Road in Milton. No roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with the traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The Subaru Lot to Love event is going on now at Anderson Subaru, which brings special summer savings to some of our most in-demand Subaru models, Ascent, Outback, and Crosstrek. Right now, get 0.9% financing for 75 months on Ascent models with flexible seating for up to 8 passengers. Or how about 1.9% APR financing for 75 months on the completely redesigned Outback? That's 75-month financing on Ascent and Outbacks. Or get 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on the versatile Subaru Crosstrek. Low rates and long terms on the most reliable and most loved cars around. Discover new places to love during the Subaru A Lot to Love event. Going on now through August 31st at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Sportsman's Night Out is back September 17th at the Pensacola Bay Center featuring bass fishing legend Hank Parker. Tickets are only $10 and can win you prizes like hunting trips, weapons, a brand new camper, a tractor, four-wheeler, a brand new car, and so much more. Brought to you by partners like Carpenter's Campers, Paris Tractor, Benton's Auto Trim, Sandy Sansing Automotive, and Marcus Point Baptist Church. For more information, visit sportsmansnightout.com. That's Sportsman's Night Out September 17th at the Pensacola Bay Center.
Pensacola Hardware is much more than a hardware store. In houseware and giftware, you'll find luxury candles and detergents, along with the finest cutlery, cookware, and the ever-popular woodware. We have the best selection of grills and grilling accessories for your home and backyard. Oh, and don't miss our great selection of birdhouses, feeders, and garden accessories. Shop local and make Pensacola Hardware your first choice in making your house a home. Come see us, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown Pensacola, where customer parking is always free.
You recognize the smell of marijuana, but it's not just a smell. It's a warning. If you can smell it, harmful chemicals are entering your lungs, bloodstream, and brain, and our children too. Every inhale affects brain development and triples the risk of serious respiratory issues. Protect your kids and grandkids from the dangers of marijuana. Their future is on the line. This message is sponsored by the Department of Children and Families and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
You don't need another money hack.
You need a plan.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
You're an imbecile.
A Somebody asks me, is this the same Charles Bear who's got family names up on all the buildings in town? No. That's the Lewis Bear family, the Anheuser-Busch distributorship ownership family, David Bear Lewis Jr. Totally different spelling, B-E-A-R versus B-A-R. And they said, so it's construction. Nope, that's a different Bear family entirely. Charles is all on his own on this one. Let's see. Steve is in for David this morning with our headlines. Steve?
Evacuations have been ordered in Reno, Nevada, as a fast-moving wildfire is threatening the northern part of the city. About 42,000 people have been ordered out because of the Hawk Fire, which is a blaze that's burned 15,000 acres since starting on Saturday. U.S. is set to impose tough new sanctions on Iran. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says he'll hold a news conference later on to lay out the economic pressures the administration plans to impose on Iran and its key allies. The White House is describing the measures as the toughest sanctions in history. And that's what's happening.
Yeah, because we've just been going partway on Iran so far, and now we're going to really, really do a thing.
Really?
Okay, thanks, Steve. I appreciate the update. Oh, meanwhile, President Trump has trying to get you some relief at the store on your ground beef by reducing or eliminating tariffs on 300,000 tons of imported ground beef. Gosh, wait, but I thought that tariffs didn't cause consumer prices to go up. That's a weird solution.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Taking aim at the enemy's economy, Gianna Gelosi, Fox News. The Trump administration set to announce what is being described as economic D-Day on Iran, unveiling a package of measures to isolate Tehran from the rest of the world. Fox's Marianne Rafferty.
The U.S. Treasury is expected to detail what's being called the toughest sanctions in history Monday. In response, Iran is vowing to neutralize the economic war with the U.S. It's also threatening to halt oil flow out of the Strait of Hormuz if any neighboring countries join the effort. This, as a new report shows, traffic through the vital waterway is up nearly 400%, but still just 20% of pre-war levels. There are also signs of growing division within the Iranian leadership. Iran's president is defending an interim agreement reached with the U.S. in June, saying Tehran cannot